Our text for our meditation this Ash Wednesday evening is from John chapter 8. These words, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus told the Jews to whom he was speaking that even though they thought they were free, they thought they lived in freedom, they thought they were able to do whatever it is they wanted to do, Jesus told the people of Judea who asserted that they lived in freedom that in reality, they were not free. They were, in fact, enslaved. Not enslaved to the Romans who had political control of Judea by that time for almost 100 years. No, the Jews were not enslaved to the Romans who occupied their country. The Jews were instead enslaved to themselves, enslaved to the sin that reigned within them. They just weren't aware. They weren't aware that this was so. The Jews weren't aware that they were so enslaved, the sin within them tainting their speech and altering their thoughts and modifying their behavior. So here we can think of sin. Here we can think of sin being like the accent we have as Minnesotans. An accent we indeed do have, which truly affects how we speak, how we form our sentences, so even how we think. But an accent of which we are blissfully unaware until we travel down south, or out east, or out of the country, and sometimes can find ourselves in our speech sticking out like a sore thumb, that of which we are completely unaware, being so obvious to those hearing us talk, "Oh, you must be from Minnesota." But that's how sin, the infection of sin, the spiritual disease of sin actually works. Its symptoms are so subtle, so undetectable, that we don't realize what's occurring within us. So the concept of the free will. Since the time of the ancient Greek philosophers to today, the assertion has been made repeatedly that the human will is free, that the human will has the power to make the right choices, that the human will can, if it so chooses, decide to do one thing and not to do another thing, think of one thing and not another, say one thing and not another. It is, after all, the human will, free to do as it pleases, free from constraints, free from limitations, free from any hindrances whatsoever. "Not so," said Luther, following the Apostle Paul here, following Scripture. "Not so. Human will is not free. For the human will is enslaved in bondage under the constraint of sin itself." No, we have no free will as human beings. What we do have is a self-will or an own will. That is, each of us enslaved to our will, to sin, to our flesh, acts and does in accordance to our own desires, thoughts, wishes, unaware so often that such desires and thoughts and wishes are defective. They're defective. That is, they're infected. They're infected with sin. Yes, they come from our will, but from our will that cannot act on its own, but must act as that enslaved to this thing called sin. And like our Minnesota accent, we can't even tell that it's going on. A truly free will? No. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray against ourselves. We pray against ourselves when we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We pray to our Father in heaven, "Thy will be done." Noting this, Luther remarked, "If you do with your will whatever you want, your will is not free." It's your own will. But God has given neither you nor any man your own will, for your own will comes from the devil. It comes from Adam. They're the ones who made the free will which they received from God into their own will, for a free will desires nothing of its own. It only cares for the will of God. So it remains free, cleaving and clinging to nothing in this world. So that's why in the Lord's Prayer, God commands us to pray against ourselves, teaching us that we have no greater enemy than ourselves. For our own will is the greatest power within us, and we must pray against it. My Father, don't allow me to have my will, oppose my will, break my will, come what may, only let your will and not mine be done. For so it is in heaven. Self-will is not found there. Own will is not found there in heaven. So let it be the same here on earth. So Luther. So the truth is, the truth of Ash Wednesday, the truth of our existence, is that we're slaves to our own will, our self-will, our sin, and it's only through Christ, only through the truth of Christ, that we can be free and are freed from ourselves. Free to be the people of God that we originally were created to be. So here is our reading again, our reading from the Gospel of John. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." I suppose we could say similarly that we as Americans, we're philosophical offspring of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and the founding fathers. We have the United States Constitution and have never been enslaved to anyone. Yes, but we too, like those Jews in Jesus' day, are enslaved to ourselves, enslaved to our sin. If not freed from it, the only house we will enjoy, the only existence will be as slaves to ourselves in the world that we know right now. Now, don't get me wrong. Even with all its troubles and challenges and problems and conflicts, this world, our current house, the current house in which we live, it's truly an amazing place. It's truly a wonderful place, even truly a miraculous place. Here we enjoy wonderful scenery and food and experiences and sounds and sights galore. It truly is, at its best, the world around us, almost a heavenly existence, a heavenly place. But an existence for us, a place for us, which will only be enjoyed as slaves in this house which is not ours. And if not a follower of Christ, we will never become sons and daughters of God, and so not only enjoy this heaven and earth, but the new heaven and earth as well as our home, as the inheritance for those who are members of God's family. The words then of Christ in which we should abide, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, how is it that Jesus can say such things? Jesus can say such things because Jesus enslaved himself. He enslaved himself to sin. That is, as a Son of God, he became one of us, a human being, and took on our flesh and experienced the temptations of the flesh. That is what it means to have our flesh constantly pushing and pulling and tugging at us to do this, that, and the other thing. But unlike us, Jesus was fully aware. He was fully aware of the challenge presented by our flesh, our human will, never allowing his will to become enslaved. Jesus was always free. And to free us, to free our wills, he sacrificed his sinless self for our sinful self, suffering and dying to free our wills from their captivity. Rising again from the dead, what occurs now is that in our baptisms, we are given the benefits of the suffering and death of Christ and his resurrection. The water of baptism being the death of our old Adam and our washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, our resurrection from the life of slavery to ourselves. So now even our free wills exist within us, our free wills to do that which is of God. Will of God fighting daily against ourselves, our own will. Our will's in bondage. But what does that mean? But that if someone has not been washed, they haven't been regenerated or renewed by the Holy Spirit, if someone has not been baptized into Christ, someone has not put on Christ, what does that mean, this whole freedom in Christ thing? But that if we do not know Christ, we will not be free, and we will never then know the truth. Arguments, discussions, conversations with such enslaved wills in the people around us can be a whole lot like those people, those with people who have not the full knowledge of what they're talking about. I'm reminded of a conversation, for example, I had once with a person after returning from Germany in 1996. Now, this was before the internet, before email. I know, it was way, 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 way back then. I think electricity came and then the internet. But having lived in Germany for 4 years, having learned how to speak German and read German and write German, having experienced Germany in oh so many ways, I was flabbergasted somewhat by this person when we returned, who really wanted to hear nothing of Germany from me, for he already knew everything about it. Sure, he'd never lived there. Sure, he didn't know the language. He couldn't read it or write it or speak it. And yet he proceeded to tell me how it actually was to live there, a place he had never been. And this is exactly what the world does when it talks to Christians about God, about Christ, about our life in Christ, about Christian faith. This is the way it is. This is the way it should be. This is the way we think it should be. And yet the world doesn't know Christ. The world doesn't know the truth of Christ. For the world does not know that it doesn't have a free will, but an enslaved will, a self-will, that remaining in bondage to itself will never know the things of Christ. Now, to the extent that we remain in the world, that we would buy into the free will idea of the world in our old Adams, we remain enslaved ourselves. So the season of Lent. It's a season when we pause and consider the falsity of our own existence. That is our lack of knowledge of the truth. And repenting of our sins, what do we do but turn to our Savior Jesus and plead? Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you, the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. Sinners, that's you and that's me. Who, in knowing the truth which is Christ, have been set free, are being set free, and will be set free. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.